الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وشاورهم في الأمر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, Allah Ta'ala in His wisdom has created man as a conglomeration, as a bundle of needs. From birth right until death, there isn't a point where man can be boastful, proud and arrogant. In a moment man is normal, fit, enjoying himself with his family and friends. Man explained to me, he's enjoying coffee with his wife, and both of them are dipping their scones into the coffee and they're enjoying. And there the wife just dipped the scone and she's gone. Wealth for Africa, health of the world, gymming, healthy, strong, all type of health regulations they're complying to. But in a moment, what happens to man? Pal ki khabar nahi. Saman hai so saal ka, lekin pal ki khabar nahi. You accumulated the wealth of the world, but you don't know what's going to happen in the flash of an eye. So he's created man as a bundle of needs. Birth, he's totally helpless. Mother, attendants, family and friends, they are totally helpless. They need the help, they need the attention. The child that is just ushered into the world, he knows nothing but crying. All his needs are attended to by his crying. So the only thing that he knows is about crying. And then throughout his life, there are needs, needs upon needs. Hungry, so he needs food. Thirsty, he needs water. Tired, he needs to sleep. Came of age, then he needs to marry. Then he's aged up again, he becomes helpless again. Again, he needs attendants to be attending to him all the time. Then he can't move himself, then he needs someone to move himself. If he doesn't move, then he's going to get bed sores. Then he needs adult diapers. And he can't move, he needs a wheelchair. Before he needed a carriage, now he needs a wheelchair. So this needs, they never end. And then, when his eyes close, then to his need of someone to take care of him, bathe him, kafan him, and dafan him. So at no point, man can be proud of himself. And Allah Ta'ala has deliberately created man in this format, that you are a bundle of needs who remain needy. Ya ayyuhan nasu antumul fuqara'u ilallah. O mankind, you are totally in need. Wallahu huwal ghaniyul hamid. It is Allah Ta'ala that is free of all needs and worthy of all praise. Aynama takunu yudrikkumul maut. Wherever you be, and death is going to overtake you, wherever you be. fortified tall towers you are in, all the security measures, everything you have applied, but Allah Pak wants to take you in a second gone. So the lesson Allah Pak is teaching us, remain modest, remain humble, remain needy, and I will see you through all the phases of life. But your need, your requirement is to show your need, and to show your need not to anyone and everybody, but to express your need to the one who's got everything in his treasure. وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنَ. We've got khazanas. Allah Pak says it himself. We've got khazanas for everything. Treasures. Though وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. It is in the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala sends down wealth and gifts and bounties in due proportion. That also is the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, that he doesn't send it unlimited, sends it in limited proportions. Imagine if your whole life's wealth or provision, rosy, etc., had to be given to you in one stroke. Were you able to manage to look after it? All the atta that you required, the food that you required, was given to you in one stroke. So he gives it to you in due proportion. This year, there'll be so many tons of wheat that will be produced, so many tons of meat that will come out, right? So he gives you in due proportion. That giving in due proportion is also in accordance to his hikmat. Otherwise, it was impossible for you, right? The world has got approximately 8 billion people living, right? And on average, just bare minimum, every person requires 5 liters of water. You're talking of bare minimum, right? So just multiply it, 8 billion times 5 liters. So 40 billion liters is being used every day. We're coming from the khazana, from the treasure of Allah Ta'ala. Never getting depleted. Day after day, we're using it, and it's going down the drain. But no day ever here that there was a decrease of water. It's just going on. As you're using it, Allah Ta'ala is replacing it. You're using it, and it's being replaced. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ. You spend it rightly, and Allah Ta'ala grants you a replacement. But in all this, what is Allah Ta'ala wanting from us? So He wants two things from us. One is understand the right procedure. What are you supposed to be doing when you are born, you are coming to the world as a conglomeration of needs? What are you supposed to be doing? More than understanding that you are a needy person, then understand what are you supposed to be doing in the face of all these needs. So Allah Ta'ala wants you to do two things. One is to consult, not to do things independently. Fas'alu. He says it himself, Fas'alu ala dhikr. So one is you must consult, and number two is you must then ask Allah Ta'ala, beg Allah Ta'ala. Fas'alu ala dhikr. And again it says, Ud'uni astajib lakum, ask of me. I will see to all your needs, all your requirements I will see to. So one is you don't do things independently, and number two, you ask me. Don't show an independent attitude. You beg of me for all your favors. Number two, you consult and refer. Don't take decisions independently. Some many years ago, maybe it was around 1980 somewhere, beginning 80. So there was a news that became common, and the person that was involved, he came and related the news to me himself. So it wasn't just a rumor, it was factual. Because the one that was involved, he came and related, he reported the thing to me himself. He became a very prosperous person, lectured for some time, then retired, all that. So he says to me that was in university and just about completing. Maybe a third, fourth year of university, bright student, and just about to complete his course. So now you know, around that time, 1980, 40 years ago, right? And people's spirits, how it was then, money was tight then, and now, you're planning for a holiday at the year end, around this time of the year, right? So they're planning 2 months in advance. They'll go for a boat ride to St. John's, right? And this will do this and will do that. So they're planning everything. The hotel has been booked, the boat has been hired already, and the whole 10-day holiday has already been discussed to the last detail, the food, the fishing rods, everything has been discussed, what we'll do and how we'll spend the 10 days. At the 11th hour, he says, but no, the tradition is I must ask my mother. Mother is widowed and I have to ask her, and I can't be doing things without her consent. Right? There's a family tradition. And plus the Quran Sharif also supports it. They don't do things. There's a procedure in everything. You do things with procedure, then you respect it, you love, and you like. You can scale the fence, force the door open, and barge into someone's privacy, right? But will you be loved? Will you be respected? Will people appreciate that approach? No. You could do that. But follow procedure. You didn't follow procedure, you're not loved, you're rejected, and the person will not see you. He will not see you lovingly. He will not accept you. So everything has got a procedure, and that procedure, the right procedure has to be followed. Now, bypassing that right procedure, doing your own thing, brings about problems. Shariat has got a procedure. A man comes up of age, so the right thing is, what must he do? He must consult. Now you bypass the procedure, the boy is looking himself, the girl is looking himself. They're testing out 10 women, and the girl is testing out 10 men. Eventually they get into the marriage. When they get into the marriage, the boy feels insecure, the girl feels insecure, because the boy knows about the girl, she is tested and tried, and the girl knows about the boy's history, he is tested and tried. So he feels insecure, she feels insecure. Each spouse is looking over his shoulder, what's happening, man is right or not, is he cheating me or not? The wife is feeling the same. See? So now that is when you're not following procedure. Some years now, getting this email all the time coming up, you know. So it's about 10 that have come now. So the same question is the same. The woman is asking, that when we go to Jannat, will we be able to have the husband of our choice? First it got me a little bit puzzled, why is this girl asking this type of a question? Then I understood why she's asking this type of a question. Understood. She had been in a high school or a university environment, right? And there was some spark of love that sparked in her heart for some person, right? And Taqdeer had it, the decree of Allah Ta'ala had it, that she had to marry someone else, parents, family pressure, etc. So she married, and he had to marry someone else. But that spark is not extinguished. That is coming on every time, all the time, passes the person, or thinks of him, and then it sparks up again and again. When it sparks up again and again, she is thinking of her old lover. And he is the same. He can't be innocent. She is the same. Yeah, she's a human being. She's a human being. Exposed to this type of environment and this type of responses. Now she's thinking to herself, I've got this feeling within my heart. Will this ever materialize? Now someone does all these things discreetly. Someone does it openly. You get cases up till now where that love has just sparked, right? And now the girl is looking for an occasion, a birthday, Eid day, Bakrid day. And quietly to her old lover, she's sending some cake. Now, all these things happen, and they happen quite regularly. It's not something new which happens. And then in the whole rush, the husband gets to know, or the wife gets to know, what happened now? Where is this going to? What are you doing behind my back? See these things, when you bypass the procedure, then the aftermath. So each spouse is feeling insecure of the other. Why? You didn't follow the procedure. Now they got into the marriage, but they're feeling insecure. So there's going to be problems within the house. Somehow or the other, children, wife, some way or the other, there's going to be problems. Now you're wondering why the son is not listening to you. The wife is not comfortable with you. So this type of Christians are bugging you, are giving her all the wealth, giving her all the comfort, but why is she not comfortable? Why is she not secure? So these questions are coming up. Then the children are coming up. When they're coming up, they are delinquents, they're not showing the respect that is required. But now where did it spark from? Therefore, it's quite common. جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. See, when you commit a wrong, then must be prepared for a consequence as well. If you do a good, then be prepared for the consequence as well. When you do a wrong, be prepared. Do good, be prepared. One person came to the madrasa. He says, you know, I got a drinking problem. I'm an addict. I can't leave this thing here. So now, we don't like to listen to the story, but now sometimes people got it in their heart, they want to just give it out. So, you know how it started? So I was a lover of sports. Lover, fanatic, right? See this thing. And I thought to myself, it's just sports after all. I'm not looking at anything. I'm not looking at women, etc. Not fantasizing, I'm just looking at a sports event. Now he's giving me his story, what he's doing, and how he landed up into this addiction. So he says, in all innocence, I was just watching. And now, in that break or that interval, they are showing some type of advertisement, because Castle Lager or someone is sponsoring this whole thing. When they're going to be sponsoring it, they're going to see that their mark is left there. So that advertisement also for them, so they're going to leave their mark. Now he says that I'm seeing the advertisement coming up at the interval, and it's that ambiance is there, it's a beautiful girl that is there, right? And there's a man there, and she's pouring ambience. That thing struck him, got deep into his heart. See, there must be something in this. Let me just try it out. Look at the face, so beautiful. Look at the drink, and how they're pouring it, and how it's being received, and how it's being drunken. I won't become an addict. Let me try it out. He said, I tried it, and there I became an addict. Now I don't know where to hide myself. I've got children all grown up, but I don't know where to hide myself. But you see, جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. A wrong, and be prepared for the aftermath. If you didn't correct yourself, you didn't put up the right remedial procedures, then wait for the aftermath as well. But the same token, وَجَزَاءُ حَسَنَةٍ حَسَنَةٌ بَعْدْهَا. If you do a good, then there'll be good coming. It'll be followed by good. Allah Pak will bless you, and grace you with doing further good. You did something good, and he'll give you the grace of doing something good again. See, what's happening is, because we see the turmoil, mental turmoil, unrest and uneasiness, we're looking for some type of satisfaction. Here, they run away this idea for a holiday, they get that turmoil off. Not realizing the turmoil is مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. It's because of what your hands have earned. He says this verse that مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Right? The calamities that confront you is because of the wrong that you have done. But this doesn't only refer to physical, it is also applicable to the spiritual. One is a wrong that you've done, and that wrong is physical. You know, it's tangible, it's physical, you can see that thing. And one is the wrong that you have committed, but it's very discreet. It's inside the mind, inside the heart. Very discreet, it's subtle, nobody can see it. Allah Pak knows about it. But for this also there is an aftermath. Like of that sin that is visible, perceivable, you can understand it, you can see it. There's an aftermath for that thing, there's a consequence for this. For that wrong that is not perceivable, it's discreet, is concealed within the mind and the heart. There also, there is an aftermath, there is a consequence for it. Now when we think now there's no aftermath, nothing's going to happen, then we are fooling ourselves, we're just bluffing ourselves. Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, he was a high court judge. And he asked not to be in that position. Because he knows the wrong that's going. He moved himself to a high school inspector. He knows now, I'm in that position, the wrong that will take place. Let me take a smaller salary, half the salary, and my life will be at ease. I don't have to be in a mental turmoil any longer. To that position, now he's doing his rounds, India now, you're talking 100 years ago. The whole administration was quite different. So it's going from one school to the other school, one province to the other province. In his whole chakkar of his whole travel of his, he comes across Jigar Muradabadi. That's India's poet, very famous poet 100 years ago. Now because of his fame, he knows him, recognizes the person. So Jigar discloses some of his concealed faults. Say, I am a drunkard, day and night I am drinking. And many a times I got a pressing urge to go and meet Hazrat Muwatthani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. But in this state here, how can I go and meet him? I'm in this drunken state all the time, and then how am I going to meet him? So anyway, Khada said, yeah, but it's not appropriate to meet such a great luminary in this state. Khada Sahib came and related this whole story to Hazrat Muwatthani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. I met up with Jigar, and this was the discussion that we had. And I also confirmed that it's not appropriate to meet such a great luminary, such a great buzurg in this state. Hazrat Muwatthani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh told him, Jigar Sahib, main to samajhta tha ke tum kuch samajh gaye, lekin maloom hua to ke tum kuch na samjhe. Main to samajh raha tha ke tum samajh gaye honge. Lekin maloom hua ke kuch nahi samjhe. I thought you understood already, but you didn't understand this yet. So, mujhe kya kehna chahiye tha? What reply should I have given him? The reply you should have given him, ke jaise bhi haal ho, usi haal mein tum aa jao. Mumkin hai ke yehi tumhari aamad, tumhari islah ka ek kadam ho jaye. So, whatever the condition is, you come and meet him. Maybe this coming of yours may be a step to your entire reformation. Whole life may just capsize. See how Allah Ta'ala works. He's got that urge. He's got that good feeling. In the heart there is that urge. And he wants to do it. But now there's a mental confusion. And Allah Ta'ala brings about Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah Alayh is a master of illustrations. So in an illustration, something that is abstract has to be given in graphic language. So it's a very difficult thing. It's abstract, not perceivable, but you have to give out the story, but in graphic language, how are you going to give it? So he gives up a story. See. He says, the small little ant, and the thing is crying all the time. Its tears is about that I want to go to the Haram Sharif, Makkah, Mukarrama, I want to go to Madina Munawwara. But little thing like me, I don't have wings to fly. I don't have those gills to be swimming. I don't have those feet to be walking so far. Can I ever reach there? It's crying for days upon days. Some got wings. Others can fly. Others can swim. Others got strength. They can travel. But me, I'm such a poor little thing. Will it be ever possible for me to reach Makkah Mukarrama and Madina Munawwara? Will it be ever possible? The pigeon of the Haram Sharif happened to notice this ant, and it's crying, it's sobbing, and it's tears. So, the Haram pigeon, that thing says, alright, I got a solution for you. But you see, I must take you, leave out all your pride. Leave out all your haughtiness, your pride, arrogance, leave it one side, just listen to me. So this whole path requires these two things, two steps. Leave the haughtiness, your pride, your reputation, etc., leave it one side. And then you need to take someone as an elder. So the haughtiness must be left one side, your status, your symbol, all that, leave it one side. And the second thing is then take someone as your senior and listen to him, close your eyes and just listen to him. He's seen the path, is the pigeon of the haram, kabutar, haram ka kabutar. It's seen the path, it's going all the time. So it'll take you in one flight it'll just take you there. But you need to listen to it, and you need to leave out all your pride and your arrogance. Don't say, I'm an ant, I'm so powerful, I'm such a mighty person. A few ants get together, you can carry the whole janaza of a cockroach. You can do that. Don't think about your pride on that. Don't think. Think about your helplessness, and think that I need to listen to the senior, and once you're going to listen to the senior, and you're going to go through. See this beauty of listening. I was from story to story, I'm just stepping on. I spoke about that person. The 11th hour he went to contact his mother. Remember the beginning. They're all prepared now to go to Pont St. John's, right? Holiday time, young blood, university, just about completing and graduating. At the 11th mother, when she's done, they've done all the preparations, booked out the hotels, the food, the accommodation, the boat, everything is done. At that 11th hour, the mother says, "Ni jawanu malad, you're not going." So the whole night I cried. I cried and I cried like a baby. I did everything. This old woman, she doesn't know what the world is. You know, I'm about to graduate. And this thing here, what she's thinking of herself? The whole night I cried, but now it's my mother, I can't do anything about the whole thing. The next morning I heard that all those people that went on the boat all drowned. See, so you got an elder, you consult. Some things don't appeal to you. You cannot understand, you can't recognize straight away. But that doesn't mean there's no wisdom in it. There's going to be some wisdom in it. Now you can't understand, you can't relate. But time will say. Time will tell. There's one doctor, this person here, my friend, one doctor, specialist now. Now he's a specialist, right? He's over 90. So he told me his personal story. He told me himself. Both these people are telling me their own stories. So this doctor is telling me, he's over 90. Now I know him over 50 years. So he's telling me that when I just was completing my medicine course, you know, just finishing that. So I'm living around this Overport area. And there was some tennis court that just came up, you know. And like a fanatic now, you know, sports fanatic and all that, we went to play the tennis. And the tennis, you got all this type of people living here. Coloureds, whites and all that time, 50, 55 years ago. All that type of people living. And we're playing now, whites, coloureds. They got no discrimination. Boys, girls and all, they were all playing together. So sometimes it's a duel, boy and a girl, facing each other. My father got to know about this the second or the third day. By the third day, father said, right, first day and last day, you're not going again. In the heat of that moment, you know, in that heat of that moment, enjoying the thing, the colored girl, the, you know, all that beauty and all that, and how, you know, how they dressed up, how they jumping and that hair is flapping and all that caught my sight, it caught my heart very deeply. But the father said, you're not going. Now I'm completing my course and the height of my education, height of my freedom, and this old man, what he's doing to me, what he thinks of himself. He says, I cry for that whole month, he tells me. You know, but that day, he says, 55 years ago, the father just takes out his eye, can't go. That's the law, finish class. Can't go, you can't go. He said it and he said it. No, I'm almost a doctor. What this man thinks of himself? He's not even educated. He can't even speak English properly. And he's commanding me. So whole month I cried. Anyway, father said it. I couldn't go. But it took me about 12 years thereafter to understand the wisdom and the philosophy of what my father was telling. Because all those that were graduating with me, they all are in the sports. Muslim, good families. Then when this thing started, someone got married this side, that side. Children got no direction. They also became educatable people, but no direction, no DE direction. Someone is in drugs. Someone, children became delinquents. Someone got mixed marriage. There's no direction in their life, no deen in their life, no direction in their life. You feel, you look at them, you feel so miserable. They became educated people, but absolutely no direction. The delinquent, drugs, drinking, all that type of thing. So it took me about 12 years to understand what my father was talking about. For that moment, I found it very difficult. You see, we're talking of procedure. You follow the procedure, there's love, there's respect, and there's dignity. But minus the procedure, what happens? Now look at a Muslim, right? Came up of age, you consulted your father. So you knocked at the door, took permission, didn't look at the woman in the house, didn't peep inside. Right? So now, your father does the homework. He sees your temperament. He sees, all right, my son is like this. His temperament, his short fuse or his long fuse. Right? These are his likes, these are his dislikes. Right? So then he'll look for a girl that is appropriate, suiting you. The father is thinking about it, the mother is thinking about it, then the family is thinking about it together, that for this son of mine or this daughter of mine, who is the suitable match? They think about it, they think about it carefully. So they're using themselves very well, that is not just for the joy of the moment. It's a whole life ahead of them. And we don't want this thing to break. So how must we plan ourselves? How must we think and reason and get them into a marriage? So this marriage becomes, there's a continuity, there's happiness, and there's prosperity. So you see the procedure that is followed and the goodness that comes. That is why you find the marriages that took place, say 50, 55 years ago, nearly 99% all worked out. 55, 60 years ago, you hardly heard about a divorce case. Not that there weren't any divorce cases, but there was hardly any case of divorce. No domestic problems, no fights, absolutely nothing, everything going smooth. Now we bypass the whole system, so that no, the boy must find his own partner and the girl must find her own partner. And now the problems that are going with it, then the problems are going on, spilling on to the children that are coming up after that. Now we're watching these things here, but we're not accepting and acknowledging. We're talking about the kabutar story, right? And there's some stories were left, so I'll just complete that. So the kabutar, that pigeon, is saying, "Bhai, listen to me. Listen to me, bro. Just close your eyes, listen to me. And leave your pride and your arrogance, leave your own thinking. Just listen to me, I'll take you." So the ant is desperate to go to Makkah, to Madina Munawara. In the desperation, she's saying, "Whatever you say, you the master, you the boss, whatever you say, I'll just comply." In one flight, true to her word, and they were there in Makkah Mukarramah. She said, "You just hold on to the leg, tuck yourself into the feather, and just hold on tight. See, leave that arrogance, that pride, etc." So in this path that is leading to Allah Ta'ala, this is the requirement. Leave the arrogance, leave the pride, leave your thinking, subject yourself to someone else. On the operating theater, you have to subject yourself, whether you like it or not. No matter who you are, what you are, but you have to subject yourself to someone. So this is a spiritual operation. When in a physical thing you need to subject yourself, how much more in a spiritual operation do you need to subject yourself? Before that we spoke about Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh is saying, "Khaja Sahib, that I thought that you were something understanding person, but I understand that you haven't got the full understanding. So what I should have said, come, irrespective of the circumstance, but come." So anyway, Khaja Sahib came to Thanabur. Now he's sitting there. Most of us are quite familiar. In the older masjids, all of them had hose, a pond to make wuzu, like how we got in Grey Street. I think the West Street one, that's finished now. There used to be a hose there also someday. But most of the masjids had a hose, a pond. So Khaja Sahib is sitting there, not Khaja Sahib, there's Jigar. Jigar Sahib is sitting there by the hose, and he's shaving himself. In the meanwhile, Thanvi Sahib Rahman is pulling into the khanqah. Why did you have to do this? Muay is not saying anything, but in his mind he's asking, why did he have to do this? He had a designer beard, alright, he should have kept that designer beard, but why did he have to clear that up also? Anyway, Muay is just thinking to himself. In the meanwhile, he meets up with Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and then he says, "You see, I did it deliberately. Why I did this? I want you, Hazrat, to see me in my true colors. I don't want you to see me in false colors, artificial colors, like a little bit of Islam, all that. I don't want you to see me. You see me in my true colors, my true wrong. That the changes and the corrections that you want to bring, you can bring it fully. Now I show you an artificial false picture of myself, a little bit pious, etc., etc. You don't get the full picture. You can't do the corrections as you would have liked." Now look at this. Al-Mawad Thanvi Sahib Rahman says that, you know what? It's an introduction, and the hadith says, "Inna lid-dakhili wahshatan, farahibuhu biya marhaba." Person is new, is come to you, so you have to be a little bit careful, courtesy. You can't be too overwhelming on the person. So Muay is a little bit courteous with him. He says, "You know, that one poetry of yours, I like it." "Which poetry?" "That poetry, تیری طلب بھی کسی کا کرم کا صدقہ ہے، تیری طلب بھی کسی کا کرم کا صدقہ ہے، یہ قدم اٹھتے نہیں اٹھائے جاتے ہیں. I've got the love for you, O Allah Ta'ala. It is not of my own doing. This love that I've got for you, O Allah Ta'ala, it's not of my own doing. It is the grace of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that I've got the love for you. Allah says, you know, this poverty is so valuable to me. Had I had 1,000,000 lands, I would have given it to you. It's so great. But if someone understands the depth, we understand food and the variety, samosa and rocket and patani kya kya cheese, right? So we understand all the varieties, but language and poetry and the depth of the language, depth of kalam of Allah Ta'ala, Rasulullah, that we don't apply our minds. So nonetheless, he made a firm resolve, I'm going to leave this thing out. Akhada sahab left this thing out and he's gone back home. In the meanwhile, now, you know, it's a man that's lived with this for 50 years of his life, and just to chuck the habit in one stroke can become difficult. Now he became very seriously ill. He's like dying. So the physicians told him, alright, just to take one thought just to save your life. We are fond of from the ulama. If you are in this position here, just to take something to save your life is permissible. So now look at the mind, look at the tawbah. You know the tawbah that is made. That is what we need to notice. What the doctor says is a secondary thing. We don't say it's not important, but it's a secondary thing. Primary thing is what the love between Allah Ta'ala and the banda requires. The love, the allegiance with Allah Ta'ala, what does it require? So, Khada Sahib says, there can be one of two situations. The one situation is that I will live, right? If I have to live, if it is my taqdeer that I have to live, I will live through. So what's the need of pushing this thing in my system? And the other situation is that I may just die, right? So if it is decreed for me to die, to is napaki ko muh mein lekar ke kyun maru? Why must I die with this filth in my mouth? See that understanding. But now that is the effect of a sincere tawbah. When the tawbah is sincere, this is what it will lead you to. See, the total forgiveness, it's got two elements. I'll just end my talk now. It's got two elements. The one side of it is istighfar. One student asked me last week or 2 weeks ago, what's the difference between istighfar and tawbah? So the grace of Allah, I already understood this from the ustads. So I gave it to him. I said, see, istighfar is nadamat, remorse. You're really regretful over the wrong that you've done, past or present, but you're really showing remorse. You acknowledge the wrong, you're not justifying, not making stories. That's istighfar, you're remorseful. But now you want to perfect this, and you want to have a good relationship with Allah Ta'ala. You don't want an interrupted, poor relationship, you want a strong relationship. Then with that istighfar, you need to make tawbah as well. But then what tawbah requires? Tawbah is a firm resolve, never to revert. It's a firm determination, it's a resolve, never to revert. Now this, what will be the effect of this type of a firm resolve? That resolve, what it will impact in different ways. You will leave the circle that can attract you to wrong. You're all taking Zol, right? And now I carry on with that circle, what's going to happen? I will slip into it. I will relapse. You're taking the thing now, and all the friends are taking it again and again, and I'm joining them, so I'll have to relapse. So, we leave the circle that had attracted us. We leave the place also that attracted this evil. Place, you know. Because the place is such now, it will attract you. Now in this type of a period, you made tawbah, you went to the beach, and you saw people in the birthday suits, right? So now, I make firm tawbah, but you go back to the beach. Will you be attracted or not? Will there be a relapse or not? There's definitely going to be a relapse. So we want to see what's the strength of your bond with Allah Ta'ala. That's what tawbah means, that you're coming back to Allah Ta'ala, but what's the level of your resolve? Is it just casual, just surface, or you really serious about it?
So you don't want to go back there. You know what it did to you. You went there and you saw things that you're not supposed to be seeing. One youngster came to me, 16 years of age. So he says, you know, I got a problem. I said, what's your problem? No, I like to look at women. Why, what happens? No, my father takes me to the mall. My father said, well, you have to face up with realities. So you have to, he takes me to the mall. And there I start watching the legs. Admiring all the things, all the time. So I just asked that boy once, say for example that mall didn't have the lights, didn't have the music, and absolutely no woman, would you want to be there? There's no reason to be there, there's no bright lights shining all the time, there's no music, and there's no woman, so there's no fun. We go in there for the fun. So no, I won't go there. So the place that will attract you to the wrong. Number three is the equipment and the gadgets that will attract you to the wrong. You gave that up as well. Now you say, no, I made Toba, I won't look at porn. And you got the gadget in your pocket still. I ask you, how long will it take you to reach back, to reach to that point again? That porn that you're watching, whatever you're doing, wrong that you're watching. But how long will it take you to relapse? Unfortunately, we are giving this type of an advice to our young children and to our friends. By give these children these things here, you can't be too strict with the children. You're going to be too strict, they'll become mad. That's the advice we are giving. But if you gave that advice, and that child became an addict, began to see porn, his life went into a shambles. The marital life is on the rocks. Aren't you also an accomplice? Aren't you also partly responsible? You're responsible. You give a good advice, no, don't be too strict and all that, and you're going to be too strict, this child may just become you may just rebel. You give that type of an advice, all right? So they listen to you, and then the child became an addict. He's losing all these things here. His life became a disaster. His marriage is on the rocks. Who's responsible? So there's two things in getting ourselves aligned. One is consultation, asking, and the second is making dua. Just dua is not sufficient, and just consulting is not sufficient. Although the consultation in sequence, first is the consultation, added to it is the dua. Not the other way around. Now what's happening is I'm going to get into a marriage, making dua istikhara, no consultation. First comes the consultation, shawirum fil amr, and then support it with the dua. You've got seniors, you've got elders, experienced people in your family, etc. You contact them, refer to them, and together with that you make dua. Not only dua, and not only consultation. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulih al-Kareem. وآله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين.